Let's go ahead and take our, come back to your seats. We're just going to stand for the Word of God. And Pastor Tom gave me one verse. And the theme for tonight is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I'm going to read from John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord Jesus Christ, we declare that you are the Word. Lord, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Lord, for coming, for dwelling among us. And tonight, Lord Jesus, we give you glory. We give you worship from our hearts tonight. And as Hardy has prayed, Holy Spirit, we just pray your anointing upon the message now. Open our hearts, open our minds to the challenge and to the encouragement of Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to give you a short message tonight. And we're going to have communion as well. And if you didn't get a cup when you came in, the deacons will come round and they'll give you a cup. But I want to just unpack this idea of Jesus coming. And in the Bible, we have the Old Testament and we also have the New Testament. And the Old Testament, in short, really prophesies about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming. And the New Testament is the fulfillment of that. And so, just want to read from Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 7. And it talks about this coming Messiah, this coming Prince of Peace. Now, what's interesting is that Isaiah was written some 700 years before the birth of Christ. And so what we see in this is God's prophecy, but also his promise and the fulfillment of his word as well. Amen. So in Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 7, it says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire." And then verse 6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amen. 700 years before Christ, and we're told about this birth. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, and as I've been sort of, for those who don't know, I'm a director of the prayer center, the Light of the World Prayer Center, and I've been kind of focusing on these verses over the last couple of weeks of, as we've been leading prayer times, and it's just awesome to think of God sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of that, this idea of the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. You know, I just want to share a little bit of personal testimony on that. It was probably about 3 weekends ago, and I was over in Birch Bay, and normally when I walk the dog, I go on the bike. So the dog, he's so fit, he would normally walk me, you know, but so I'm cycling along, and, you know, normally on my day off, I don't want to speak to anybody, you know. It's like, okay, this is my Sabbath, don't talk to me, you know. But I was standing out overlooking the bay, and there was a man in the car there, and he looked a little bit shabby, and, you know, maybe looked like a homeless guy. Anyway, we started talking. And we started talking about the islands and all this kind of stuff. And it was very cold. And I was really, you know, wanting to get rid of this guy. This was my time, you know what I mean? And so I said, well, look, I need to get going. I said, but I'm a pastor. How can I pray for you, you know? And he said, well, you could pray for my health. I'm losing weight. And I went, okay. And he said, you know, I've got fungus on my lungs. And then it kindly, you know, the Holy Spirit just kind of dawned on me. It's like, Lord, you want me to speak to this guy, and you want me to witness to him. This isn't about my timing. This is about your timing. And this person is a creation of yours, and he's important to you. And so we prayed, and then the conversation went on. And I have to say, I mean, this guy, he was 59 years old, so he was 7 years older than me. His name was Gary, and he looked about 83. He had 2 teeth on the bottom of his mouth. And as the conversation went on, Gary had been in meth addiction for 21 years. You see, the thing is that he was actually dying. His body was packing in. And the conversation went on, and, you know, his life was just a mess. He was in complete darkness. He'd been in and out of jail. Currently separated from his wife. And I started talking to him about the love of Jesus Christ and how if he repented of his sin, that there was forgiveness for him and that he could know peace from the Prince of Peace. And you know, he was literally just hanging on to every word that I was sharing with him. And after that, and I said this to him, I said, Gary, have you ever heard the gospel message? He said, no, I haven't. That really struck me. 59 years old, living in America, and never heard the gospel. Never heard about the Son of God who came for him. You see, he was still walking in darkness, and he hadn't seen the light. He hadn't had an opportunity to see the light. And the reality is that his days are numbered. His body, like I say, was packing in. He's on borrowed time here. And yet it was the Father's heart for the lost that he wanted me to witness to Gary and to share that light and tell him about the Son of God whom he sent to die for his sins, that he loved him so much and cared for him so much that he didn't want him to perish, but that he wanted him to know the light of Christ in his personal darkness, that he wanted to know the Prince of Peace in his turmoil. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, as we think about this on Christmas Eve here, there's people here who have come tonight who are you're in darkness. You're not physical darkness, but personal darkness. There's people here tonight whose soul isn't at peace. There's maybe people watching online here, and you're suffering. You know, and I want to share with you, when I was 19 years old, and in Scotland there is a lot of alcohol, you know, and you don't go out for a drink there. You start drinking very early. So, you know, you start drinking 16, 17 years old, sometimes even younger. And when you go out to get drunk, you know. And so when I was 19 at that time, I was probably going out five nights a week. I wouldn't say I was an alcoholic, but, you know, but I was a mess. You know, I was living a life and of spiritual darkness, and I was lost. My soul wasn't at peace. And you see, the thing was, the difficulty was, is that I wouldn't go to a church. There's no way I would go to a church. Are you kidding me? Why would I go to church? I had a friend, and a friend of a friend whose dad was a minister, and he was caught interfering with children. If that's your church, man, you can keep it, right? I don't want anything to do with that. You know, I wouldn't even enter a church building. Maybe on Christmas Eve. Maybe for a wedding. Maybe for a funeral. But, you know, I was going to a young adults group then. And, you know, for sort of 17 to 24-year-olds. And the man there, and he shared a gospel message. And he talked about the reality of this Son of God who came, and that he was real, and that he loved me, and that if I repented of my sin and asked for forgiveness, that he would come into my own personal darkness. And I have to say, you know, I wasn't an atheist, and I certainly wasn't a believer. I was what you would call an agnostic. I just didn't know. And it was, but what he said really hit my heart. You know, I needed to hear about the love of God. You know, I'd heard about Jesus a little bit, you know, in Sunday school and all this, but I needed to know about the love of God and how he loved me. That's what Gary needed to hear tonight at Birch Bay. You know, so about 2 weeks later, and I shared, I was in my room and I was sober. And I cried out to Jesus Christ, and I said, Jesus, if you're out there, I need help. I was a way to lose my job, you know. I was a mailman at the time. And, of course, when you're drinking five nights a week or whatever, and you're trying to get up at 5 a.m, it's not good. If you ever wonder why your mail is late, right? But I was a way to lose my job. And I started, you know, like the man said, it was just honest. And I just started repenting, and I started saying sorry for my sins. And, you know, would you come and love somebody like me? Because I need to hear it. I need to feel it. I'm not talking about some, you know, some book or whatever. I'm talking about a living relationship. And, you know, when I prayed that prayer, and he met me in a powerful and a wonderful way. And he poured his love into my heart. And he poured his joy into my heart. And the only way I can describe it is like this. You know, if you've ever been on a hike with an overnight pack, 2 or 3 days hiking, and somebody takes that pack off your back, and you just feel enlightened. And that's what it was like. And I had a powerful encounter with the living, resurrected Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you tonight that he is real and he's alive and that he loves you and he cares for you so much that he left his place in heaven, the glory of heaven. And he came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. It's incredible. For unto us a child is born, unto us the Son of God is given. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. You know, and as I've been focusing on that, and you think of this, right, he's God. I mean, heaven is a holy place and there's no sin there. And yet, he chose to be obedient to the Father's will. He chose to leave that place of joy. There's no sin in heaven. There's no darkness there. It's just incredible light and joy and peace and love. No more crying or mourning or pain. And he chose to leave that and take on the form of a human being. And when he was born, all he could find was an animal trough like this, literally. Son of God, laid in a feeding trough. It's unbelievable, isn't it? How he would humble himself, the King of Kings. We're talking about the Creator of heaven and earth, how he would humble himself for your sake and for mine because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He's real. Eternal life is real. You know, it says in Philippians 2 and verse 6 to 8, who being in very nature God, do not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself, came out of heaven, humbled himself to come to earth, because of the Father's rescue plan. Amen? That's how much the Savior loves you tonight. And, you know, tonight my daughter, Amy Rose, is here, and we have a brand new granddaughter. And she is 2 months old. This is her first Christmas. When she was born, in fact, even now, she's absolutely helpless. I mean, I asked her today, I said, could you make me a cup of tea? She couldn't do it. She's completely helpless, totally dependent upon her parents. And we think of the Son of God like that, totally helpless, totally dependent upon the love of Mary and Joseph, growing up as a child, experiencing the hardships of life in every kind of way, going through life as we went through it. Let me just say, folks, tonight, whatever you're going through, he's already been through it. He's lived it because he came and he lived like us. He was obedient to the Father's death, even death on a cross. Let me just explain what that very briefly what that means. You see, God says in his word that there is a penalty for sin, and he said the wages for sin is death. But Jesus was born sinless. It's that song that we just sang about Joseph. Joseph had no parental right over him. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and became pregnant. So there wasn't that sinful human connection, as it were, from the Father. No, the sinlessness of Christ came from the Holy Spirit. So he was born fully man, but he was also born fully God, sinless. And you know, he says the wages for sin is death. We deserve the death penalty. That's what we deserve. Each of us here has a sinful nature. You didn't have to tell me at the age of 19 that I was a sinner, right? I knew it. I knew it. What I needed to know was how to get saved. You know, I mean, a sinner, absolutely guilty as charged, right? Yes. But I needed to know how to get saved. And as you think of that, that's why he came and he said, Jesus, the penalty for sin is death. You've got to pay it. You're the only one. And John the Baptist actually says in John 1 verse 29, he says this, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why he came. That's why he was born. Emmanuel, God with us. So he says, the wages of sin is death. Jesus went to the cross for our sin, and he died. And as we're going to take communion very soon, it was a horrendous death. They flogged the skin off his back, literally. The Romans used to use this whip, and they had kind of strands on it called a flagellum, and they used to tie bits of rock and stone in it and bone and things like that. And it was just designed to literally rip the flesh. People often died at the flogging before the crucifixion. And he's sinless, right? He's also innocent. He hadn't deserved anything of this. Pilate said, I find nothing deserving of death in this man, Jesus Christ. Nothing at all. He was innocent and he was sinless. And yet he died on the cross, this horrendous death, and they put two nails in his hands and another through his feet. They put that crown of thorns, and his face was pouring with blood. That blood poured off the cross. The scripture says is that, you know, they made him carry the cross after that, and he collapsed in the street. And honestly, this is speculation, but I think he collapsed due to the blood loss that he lost. At the flogging stage, it was that bad. The man couldn't walk. Somebody else had to carry the cross from him. And then we nailed him to a piece of wood. That's the punishment. Jesus, you're going to pay it. And you're going to pay it to the full. But that wasn't the full story. Because he hadn't done anything deserving of death, death could not hold him. Death had no right over him. And on the third day, God raised him again to life. And he defeated sin on the cross. He defeated Satan and his demons on the cross. He defeated hell at the cross. And he's real. And he's alive today. And he's living today. This isn't just a story, folks. It's real life. He's living today. And he can come into your life tonight. He can come into your darkness. And he can provide peace to your soul. Just as that scripture says, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. By the way, he's absolutely wonderful. He's beautiful. He's the most precious person I know. He's amazing. I love spending time with him. I just love my relationship with the Lord. I love that I can come into his presence and he doesn't treat me as my sins deserve anymore. He welcomes me in. You know, and yet it says this, Prince of Peace. You know, he flooded my soul with peace, and you can know that peace in your own personal darkness tonight. Your soul can be at peace. My soul's been at peace for over 30 years now. Before there was turmoil. Now there's just light and life. John 8 verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever, no exceptions, whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I've been walking with him and the light of life for over 30 years now. It's awesome. It's amazing. I wouldn't have it any other way. And here's the thing, this world is not our own. You know, we look around, what a mess it's in. Isn't it? What a state it's in. This world is not our own. No, he saves us for eternity. And when we die, we only die physically, but we're with him for eternity. Trust me, I nearly died at the age of 36. He's there, right at the end. He's defeated death, and he's already walked the path of death. Psalm 23 says that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How can he be with me? Because he's already defeated death. He's the only one who can guide you through that path. Trust me, death is nothing. It's a snap of the fingers. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Right? Death's nothing. Honestly, on my way out of this world, I was just surrounded by his peace in a way that I've never sensed before, never sensed since. And it was just this beautiful place of peace. And it's like when you're there, you have no other care in the world, right? It's all your care and responsibility is taken from you. And it was interesting. I actually heard a testimony. It was from a Calvary pastor, actually, who had a motorbike accident. And he described that similar thing. And Sharon and I were watching this testimony. I went, that's what it's like. And he was describing that peace of Christ, you know, in his outer body experience. And it's amazing. And it's a real thing. And he's there, you know. But he says this to us. If you want to come to him, these are Jesus' own words. The next, he says this, he said, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what we have to do. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, you have to go through the cross because that is how your penalty has been paid. He's paid the fine, as it were. He's paid that price of death for you. We have to repent. What does that look like? Well, he gives us a story here. And this it's a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Repentance is just like saying, sorry, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Turning away from your life of sin, giving your life to the Lord. But Luke 18, verse 9 to 14, and he gives us this illustration of how to come to him. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. A Pharisee is basically a religious teacher. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, and he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says this. He says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Do you know what justified means? Made righteous. He declares us righteous. When we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ, he, the Father, declares us righteous. We accept him by faith. And when he looks at us, when the Father looks at us, he no longer sees the sin. He sees the Son in us. And he says, Bill, You are righteous in my sight. Bill, you are justified in my sight. As far as east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions. So far have I removed your sins from you. That's what he does. But we have to come through the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can't get there on your own. You know, in Scotland, they have this myth that you live a good life and you go to heaven. Nothing could be further than the truth. Scripture doesn't mention that at all. People try other religions. It's not going to work. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father for me. We're going to go into communion just now. And I want you to think, just as the worship team comes up, they're going to play a song. We're going to have communion. And but I want you to just to think just now. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, he's offering. He's saying, come to me. That's why I came. Then you can ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. But I can guarantee you this. If you mean it from your heart like that tax collector, he will come in. He will forgive you. And he will shine his light in your personal darkness. That's a promise. That's why he came. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's stand. We're going to sing. I just want you to focus on these words just to prepare your hearts. Scripture says that when we take the bread and when we take the cup, that we're to examine ourselves. So it's a time for us to repent, to confess. Go ahead, take a seat, folks. As we come to take communion tonight, and just on that, I just want to share this with you. 1 John verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's all of us. There's no exceptions. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. So, if you're new here, there's a little film on top here. By the way, does anybody not have a communion cup? Okay, yeah, brothers, if you could just bring some communion cups in. There's a couple of folks here. Just raise your hand and the deacons will come round and they'll bring a cup here for you. Just raise your hand up again. Yeah, there's three here. And I think is anybody, did I see that hand? No. All right. I think we're good. Everybody got one? Perfect. So there's a little film on top. If you take that, and then we're just going to pray over the bread now. But Scripture says for us to examine our hearts. Let's just take a moment. Maybe you've heard something in the worship. Maybe you've heard something in the Scripture or the preaching. But let's just bring our hearts before him. And if you've never done that, you can do that for the first time. Just confess your sin, just like that tax collector. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He knows a heartfelt prayer. That's the difference. Just make sure it's heartfelt. You can know the love of Christ tonight. Let's just take a moment. Oh, Jesus, we take this bread now in remembrance of you. This bread represents your body broken for us. Lord, your body was broken open by that whip that flogged your back. It was broken open by the crown of thorns that crushed into your skull. Your body was broken open in your hands with the nails in the feet. And your body was broken open by that spear in your side. A horrendous death. Jesus, we thank you for coming and for willingly going to the cross for us. Lord, you've paid our price. You have ransomed us. We, the guilty ones, are set free. But we take this bread now in remembrance of what you've done. And we're so thankful, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you that we have that peace and that promise of eternal life. Amen. Let's take the bread together. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know, when we do communion, we do three things. We remember what he's done. We repent of our sin. And we rejoice and our freedom. Amen. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Lord.